What the Health with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. If you are sick of dodgy influencers or people with amazing genetics giving you health advice online, you are in the right place. Because each week I help you cut through the confusion of the internet. We discuss relevant topics and help you get clarity and evidence on these so that you can make better decisions in your own health and fitness journeys. If you're a regular listener, then welcome back. And if you are new here, then here's a small bit of information about myself. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation, and I'm a former head of medical and performance in professional football. I've been a health and fitness expert for over a decade, and I've been helping real people feel better, move smarter, and get amazing results. Each week, I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends and bust myths. This week, I'm going to be joined by Alfie Whittingham. But first, here is my chat with Megan Jane Crabb. This is What the Health with me, Georges Bertineau, on FUBAR Radio. Up next is Megan Jane Crabb, who is a best-selling author, speaker, and digital creator known for her empowering work around body positivity, mental health, and feminism. You also have over 1.3 million followers, and you use your platform to challenge societal norms and inspire women to reclaim their fullest and unapologetic selves. Is that correct?
I think that pretty much sums it up. Yeah, it's quite wordy, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it's great. I mean, I love it. You know, you're using your platform for a positive, empowering purpose, and there are lots of people out there who do not. So I'm a big fan of that. Okay. So, first of all, let's dive just straight into the questions. How are you today, most importantly?
I'm as sane as a person can be when they have a book coming out in 2 days. So I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, that's great. I mean, super exciting about the book. So you've been using a powerful voice in the body positivity space for years now. What has led you to make this more personal route in your book, which is We Don't Make Ourselves Smaller Here?
So I've been a content creator for over 10 years now, and mainly known for body positivity. As you said, my first book, Body Positive Power, was all things body. I spoke about the diet industry, about fat phobia, my own experience of eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And after I put that book out and I'd done a lot of work accepting my body, I realized that there were still a lot of other places where I was making myself small, shrinking myself, and believing that I wasn't good enough and didn't deserve to exist as my whole self. So the next book had to be, for me, an exploration of what was next, what did I have to heal next. And I literally drew a map, and it started with body, and then it went to these other places. It went to relationships and sex and my life choices and my self-esteem, and I just explored, okay, where have I lost parts of myself, what could I possibly reclaim in order to embrace being my most authentic self in these places. And as I was writing, I was realizing, wow, these are such common experiences and feelings for women especially, but probably people of all genders, because we're all taught in one way or another that we are too much or not enough, should change ourselves to be worthy mm-hmm. of love or to be good enough. Mm-hmm. And that's the book. I just got it out.
Amazing. I absolutely love that. And already that feels very empowering to me. You know, so obviously you mentioned in the book that, you know, there are many areas where women are taught to shrink themselves, right? Was there a particular chapter or theme that was hardest for you to write?
There were some challenges in all of them. The chapter that's called Hearts, which was me reflecting on my romantic relationships and where I had been shrinking myself and also been performing. I think a lot of women are kind of taught that the purpose of dating is to be impressive to a man, be chosen, you know, be saved. We get this fairy tale narrative of the prince will come and then everything will be perfect and your life will be complete. And so unlearning that, that idea that you need to be saved or that you need to be perfect and, you know, perform this flawless version of yourself in order to be worthy of love, that takes a lot of unlearning, and that was quite hard for me to look at dead in the eye and see the ways that maybe I was still doing that. And I'm in my first relationship with a woman now. I've historically only dated men, okay. And it's a very different experience, and has taught me a lot about letting go of that performance.
Nice. Okay. And do you think this might be a little bit off topic, but obviously I'm a big believer of beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, I don't think a relationship is ever perfect. I always think it's about, so I've been saying this quite recently. I've been speaking to a few people about this. I don't believe in soulmates. I believe that you find someone that you're willing to make it work with. Okay. Mm. You're willing to not compromise yourself as whole, but the things that we are maybe. We can think of it like a sliding scale, right? We can move that a little bit and we can move that up a little bit. We don't have to hide who we truly are, but we can compromise in certain areas. But I think people maybe like yourself and myself who are guilty of giving a lot to a relationship and giving our full selves always compromise too much. So the sliding scale goes from instead of being in the middle and moving down a notch, it goes all the way to the wrong end and then we lose ourselves and, you know, things like that. So...
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's where the conversation around boundaries and relationships, right, it can feel quite black and white. Like, you must meet every single one of my needs and be exactly this and exactly that. Otherwise, it's and it's not like that. You know, we have to compromise and we have to be willing to self-reflect and work on ourselves. But I will say that, you know, if you are genuinely not being yourself and feeling small in your relationship, that's a red flag.
Yeah, I think so. So you speak very openly about your personal experiences throughout the book. Was there a moment in the journey that felt like a real turning point in kind of reclaiming your power? So obviously you mentioned you're now dating a female for the first time. Is there maybe a potential turning point for you? It's kind of helped you.
There were lots of, I guess...
Light bulb moments.
Yes. I've had lots of those light bulb moments, and I had them in my journey with body image. You know, 10 years ago, I was really still into diet culture and chasing this idea of a perfect body. And I had a light bulb moment when I hit my goal weight that I expected would make everything perfect and I would instantly be happy. And I was like, oh, wow, I still hate myself and my body. So that was a light bulb moment for me there. And I've had so many since then. I wrote in the book about my mental health journey and struggling with anxiety and depression. And a few years ago, I got to a really, really difficult, dark place. And I started taking antidepressants for the first time in my life. Okay. And there was a moment about 6 weeks after I had started where I went for a walk by myself on the beach. And, you know, it had been months and months of just having a horrible internal voice and only saying bad things to myself and not allowing myself to feel any kind of joy or do anything for myself. Yeah. And I went for this walk and the sun was setting and the beach was really quiet. It was the end of the summer. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go for a swim. And I just stripped off down to my underwear and got in the water. And it was beautiful. And it was the first thing I had done for myself and my well-being, really, for a long time. And it was a massive light bulb and a turning point for me.
And it made you feel great, right?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. You know, not only just moving my body, getting those endorphins, but just doing something just because it's going to feel good, which we need to do.
We do. And exercise is medicine, but it doesn't have to be in the shape and form of going to the gym and lifting weights. I'm a coach. Exactly. And my biggest thing is I actually have like over 40% of my clients that don't step foot in the gym.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm a big gym goer and a big advocate for the gym, but I'm not here trying to turn people into Mr. and Mrs. Olympia. I'm just trying to help people build a better life, be real about things, teach them balance, understanding, and that comparison is the thief of all joy. And you're comparing yourself to someone that you want to be or you were, but you're a better version of that. And we're moving forwards in time and we're becoming better people. So
I love to hear that because my relationship with exercise has been all over the place. And, you know, when I was struggling with an eating disorder as a teenager, I was fully addicted to exercise and it was compulsive and it was so unhealthy and so punishing. And it's taken such a long time to heal that and get to a place where movement is for joy. Yes. Movement is for my mental health and my physical health. And now I'm like, yeah, this is the best thing I can do for myself is go to a dance class or go for a jog or swim or cycle. And I love that there are professionals out there who have that actually healthy mindset.
Yeah, for me, it's all about just being that 1% better. I'm not trying to get everyone six packs and abs and stuff like that. If you're a 200 kilo person, but you want to be 120, I'll get you to 120. And everyone gets to a certain point and it's a weight and that image, but it's like, what do you want to feel like? It's not always what we look like. You know, I don't have a six pack. There are lots of coaches out there who aren't qualified, who are selling programs, are doing this rubbish, and they're trying to preach. Because you could look like me. You will never look like your coach. You don't have the same physique morphology. But anyway, we're going off on a tangent. So you've built a huge community online. How have your followers influenced you in the way that you wrote your book or your stories that you chose to share?
I think my followers have grown up with me. You know, it's been a decade.
Yeah.
I was 21 when I started talking about this. And, you know, my followers are majority women around my age. We've grown up. Some of us have, you know, started families and changed our life directions. And so I did want to think, you know, what do we need now? What are we thinking about now? And I wrote about, you know, whether I want to have children or following this traditional life path and whether that serves all of us or whether it's just one option of how to do life. And I did think, yeah, what do they want to hear? But ultimately I thought, what do I need to process? And what does a younger version of me want to hear? And hopefully there's alignment there.
Yeah. What would you have told your younger self? That's always the question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you knew what you knew now or could have had been the richest person in the world, I would always go back to knowing what I know now, but being a younger version. Mm. Body positivity has obviously evolved so much over the years. How do you personally define it today?
This is a weird question because everyone will have a different definition of body positivity. For me personally, it has always had two parts. Mm-hmm. It has the personal, which is your own personal body image, how you feel in your own skin.
Yeah.
And then there is the political, which is let's recognize that within our society, certain bodies are treated with more or less respect than others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are systemic issues here that we need to talk about. We are very fat phobic as a culture. We are still racist and ableist and ageist. Mm-hmm. And to me, having both of those parts and putting them together, that is real body positivity. It's not just about you personally. It is about changing the conversation societally and how we treat all bodies.
Yeah. Can we speak about toxic productivity? Why
we can,
do you think so many women equate their worth with how much they can do or achieve?
Well, I don't think that one is strictly women. I think that very much applies across the board, that at the moment we are all in this kind of endless hustle culture, get it done, be productive at all costs mentality. And there's lots of reasons for that, right? We're existing within late stage capitalism where every day we are taught to be on the grind, make that money, you know, no pain, no gain. All these narratives that our worth is what we can produce or how much we can make or all these shiny achievements that we can then post about on Instagram. Mm. It is everywhere. It is everywhere. And unfortunately, to an extent, especially if we're freelancers, it can feel necessary because we have to exist within capitalism. We have to pay our rent and afford to eat. Well, but I think for a lot of people, it's gone to another level where it's become quite obsessive and a real measure of genuinely their value. And, you know, I have friends who almost have a strange sense of pride in being burnt out. Like, look at me, look how hard I've worked. I've made myself ill because I've worked so hard. Isn't that amazing? And it's just so deeply unhealthy for all of us because we are not robots. And it's okay, like, for us to have human needs and to need to rest and be gentle with ourselves. And that's something that I still am kind of unlearning and trying to get a better balance with.
Yeah, I think work-life balance is really tricky at the moment, isn't it? And it's kind of like finding
enjoyment from life. And I totally agree with you. It's like we're in this hustler mindset where it's about, oh, I can outwork you. But what do you have to show for it? Because my biggest thing is we will die in the ground one day. So just because you put in 20 more hours a week, but you lasted a little bit less time, was it potentially worth it? Or did you get to enjoy yourself along the way? But again, that's a topic for another day, I'm sure. So in a world of weight loss, injections and drugs and transformation content, which is everywhere online at the moment, how do you stay grounded in your message of self-acceptance?
Well, I think for me, you know, body positivity, it was not ever a trend. It was not just this viral moment that now we've moved on from it. It was a genuine shift in my values and my beliefs. And it was a promise to myself of I will not punish myself for how my body looks. I will heal my relationship with food. I will heal my relationship with exercise. And however my body then looks after that, I accept and I will work to claim and to love that. I think right now we are in a bit of a backslide. We are seeing a hell of a lot of thin is back in narratives and headlines. And I think what we need to hold on to is the fact that this was always going to happen. We had body positivity and its moment. We were always going to swing back the other way because that is how diet culture works. Yes. That is how beauty that's how beauty standards work. And if you look back 100 years, you know, every decade there's a new quote-unquote perfect body that we're supposed to emulate, whether it was Marilyn Monroe or whether it was Twiggy or whether it was Kate Moss. You know, it's always happening. And right now we've gone back to the heroin chic era, and it's going to change again. And you know what? It's not worth sacrificing your sanity to try and chase an unachievable standard that the majority of people cannot naturally or healthily achieve. And if you have to sacrifice your sanity, it's not worth it, and it's not healthy. So for me personally, I'm tapping out. I refuse to give my self-esteem away to any changing trend or any social media telling me how I should be. No, this is how I am, and it's more than good enough. And I have more important things to do with my life than mold my body into whatever changing standard comes next.
No, of course, and I think that's great. I want to bring up something that I've seen literally yesterday. There's a new article that has come out on GLP-1s, which is obviously weight loss injections, and there's actually something that says up to 66% of people regain the weight within a year of discontinuing GLP-1s because they aren't actually doing anything apart from just stabbing themselves with the weight loss injection and going, do your magic. And then when they stop taking it, oh, I'm hungry again, but I haven't learned anything about myself or my cravings or what I do. And then they just want to eat again. And then, it's just unhealthy because then the weight fluctuation isn't good for us. What is one piece of cultural messaging that you think we urgently need to change as a society?
Ooh, there are so many. I think what I would really like to get rid of is this idea that we can hate ourselves into a version of ourselves that we'll love. That if we are relentlessly harsh, horrible, cruel to ourselves, talking down on ourselves every day, that will miraculously make us perfect and lovable, and then we'll be so happy in ourselves. From experience, I do not believe that is the case. I think the only way to truly build a better relationship with ourselves is with gentleness and care and treating ourselves, you know, the way we would treat someone that we love. And then so much can be built from that. You know, I always, whenever body positivity and the question of health comes up, I often say, okay, but what do you take better care of? Something that you love and respect, or something that you hate and think is worthless? Surely if we have better relationships with ourselves and our bodies and actually think that we have value, then we can make sustainable, healthful changes if that is our goal. And that's something that I've personally seen in myself.
Yeah, sustainable lifelong changes. Yeah, absolutely love that. Right, final question. The title itself, we don't make ourselves smaller here. What does the phrase mean to you now after writing the book?
I wanted the title to feel like an affirmation in itself, because sometimes you wake up in the morning, you don't want to go out into the world, you don't want to look at yourself in the mirror, you know, you feel like you're wrong and not enough or too much. And sometimes just saying to myself, no, cut it out. We don't make ourselves smaller here. It is giving permission to show up as your whole self, as you are, whether that is physical or emotional, mental, spiritual. It is just that affirmation, and is how I try to live my life these days, not making myself smaller and believing that that is enough.
Amazing. Well, honestly, Megan, thank you so much for your time. This has been amazing. Where can people find you online? Do you have a website? Where can they buy your book? Is it going to be anywhere in particular?
I am Megan Jane Crabb, and that is my name across the socials. So come on over. The book is out Thursday, and it is going to be in Waterstones or any online bookshop where you get your books.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day. Good luck with the launch.
Cheers. Take care.
Foobar Radio. Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
We are joined by Miss Safia. If I could produce you a salt, what is he like on paper? Sound like we're on Love Island.
Okay. On paper, my type has to have a good soul, good purpose, and calm energy. I'm in my energy era where you've just got to come in and make me happy. I don't need you for anything. I wanna find happiness, and I need him to be kind.
You're listening to Foobar Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foobar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for Foobar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The Foobar Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
1 in 5 people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins,
that's a Geordie Shaw thing,
has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush, because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers, because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health with me, Georges Bertineau, on Foobar Radio. Joining me now is Alfie Whittingham. He's a central midfielder who began his career at Havant and Waterlooville, progressed through the Hungerford and Aldershot Town Football Club pathway, making over 80 appearances before returning back to Havant and Waterlooville on a permanent deal in May 2024. Alfie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Georges. I'm very well. How are you?
Good, thank you very much. Was all of the info correct or fairly correct?
Yeah, spot on, mate.
There or thereabouts, wonderful stuff. Right, I really appreciate you joining me. It means an absolute lot. I know last time we had a bit of a technical issue, so we are back and we are ready.
Yeah. So
let's dive straight into it.
Cool.
Alfie, how has your approach to health and fitness evolved since you first started playing football professionally?
Good question. Good start, mate. I think growing up, a lot of my fitness was influenced on my older brother, who is now head of strength and conditioning at Portsmouth Football Club. But like growing up when I was in like from 12 to 16, I would just copy what he would do. You know, he's an older brother. So when it comes to football and like the best sort of explosive movements and plyometrics, I would just do similar to what he does, especially just basic weightlifting. But as I got older and got into, you know, a football club, you realise you have to train specific to your sport, which you'll know yourself like firsthand. Like the movements in football, it's not about lifting heavy weights all the time. It's more about that short, sharp, explosive and cardiovascular. And then a lot of it is obviously the amount of injuries you have throughout a career. A lot of it is just trying to prehab, trying to prevent injuries. So I think my training from 16 to probably 21 when I was in my like full-time era of football was a lot of this like strengthening, very small exercises, but a lot of band work, a lot of resistance work. And then since coming out of that and now playing part-time, a lot of my training is more sort of flexible because my focus is more just on my own health, not specifically just for football.
Yeah, nice. And what does a typical training week look like for you, both on and off the pitch? Because have you started preseason this week? Is it this week?
Yeah. We start on Monday. Our preseason starts Monday coming, the 30th. But my preseason will be we're a hybrid training club, so we'll be in on a Tuesday, Thursday, Friday morning. Breakfast is 8:30. Lads will go in and do their prehab at about 9 a.m. Then we go out to train at about 10 after a small meeting. Train for 2 hours, have lunch, and then sort of the afternoon evening is for the lads to go home and do whatever they want. But myself, I'll always probably put in two upper body workouts, two upper body gym sessions a week, and then one lower body. And I'll time then depending on our intensity of training. So you know, if we've got normally Tuesdays, a high intense day, so I wouldn't do legs around that. I do legs later on in the week, probably a Thursday or Friday, but depending if we have games on Saturdays, Tuesdays would also, so it's sort of varied week to week depending on the main focus is the training, right? Like the football training is what you're focused on, getting the maximum output of that. But yeah, I think a week to week, yeah, two upper body sessions, a lower body session, and then just training itself. I'll add in some runs after training if we need it.
Okay, amazing stuff. And obviously, I know firsthand how professional you are and how important, you know, how much you looked after yourself. You were always the first one in and the last one out, always doing those little bit of extras and whatnot. And that kind of leads me on to my next question about nutrition. You know, obviously, nutrition plays a huge role in athletic performance. What kind of diet do you follow to kind of stay fit throughout the season and keep yourself fueled up?
It's fairly... I've learned a lot from diet, mate. I think when I was younger, when I was at Aldershot for probably the first 2 years, I put way too much pressure on myself, especially around game days, on what I was eating. You know, the best way to fuel yourself is just to fuel yourself. Like I know a lot of the time I would like, you know, I wouldn't eat certain foods in certain situations because I either had, you know, I believe certain foods were lucky or they like, I had my certain routine. But if I ever had a day where, you know, we were traveling on a Friday and I couldn't have the food that I would normally cook at home, it would throw me off my game a little bit.
Footballers love that kind of routine.
Yeah, that psychological like sort of routine before a game. And I think as I've got older, I've sort of relaxed more and I understand the basics of like, you know, how many grams of carbs I need per body weight to perform for 90 minutes, like the day before in the morning and the hours like prior. But week to week, like just during the week, mate, I'm really relaxed. I think the main thing I focus on is just get hit in my protein goal so that my recovery is correct. But, you know, I don't look too much into what I'm eating. I just make sure I have three sort of good big meals a day that all have a big protein source, 30 to 40 grams in each meal. And then I probably follow like an 80-20 diet. So I try to have 80% whole foods, 20% of the processed stuff, because I mean, it's pretty hard to avoid any processed foods these days with, you know, 80% of the shopping market of a food hall is going to be processed foods, boxed foods, packaged foods. Yeah. And you can't get away from it. So I don't think it's healthy to tell people not to have any of it, but to try and minimize it. That's how I go.
I mean, you also don't want to go completely insane. Like, think about it this way. If you're doing 80-20, you're training hard, you're looking after yourself, there is a good chance that you're going to be quite happy in your life. Your physique is going to be pretty impressive. You're going to be able to perform pretty well.
Yeah, that has a knock-on effect to how you perform, because you know, if you're spending your week not enjoying the food you're eating and you're not relaxed, you're not sleeping well, it's knocking on towards your performance. So
exactly. We need palatable foods and we need things that we can enjoy, because if we don't have them, then we just drive ourselves insane. And then it leads to binging, or it leads to you potentially thinking, oh, you know what, I've played today, so I'm going to have a crap meal. And then you're even more inflamed the next day, right? Yeah. So how do you maintain physical and mental resilience through a long, demanding season? Is there anything you do particular?
Because I think a big thing, mate, is escaping from one thing I've loved since going from sort of full time to I'm a little bit more of a part time environment now, is having that escape out of football. Like, where I've got a couple of businesses of my own now, on top of my still playing at that full time level, it's nice to have the escapes. So, you know, if things aren't going well, if I'm not in the team, if we're not playing well, if we lose on a Saturday, I think when I was younger, it would affect my whole week. You know, it would, if I didn't play on a Saturday, or if we lost, or I had a bad game, it really would affect my whole week. But now, you know, I look back at that and I wish I had more, more things outside of football, because then I think I would have approached football in a better way, because I'd have an escape, you know, I'd have something else to go to. I think a lot of lads do that now, and they learn that as they get older, sort of into their prime, 25, 26, that, you know, they have family outside of football, or they have other jobs. And it's becoming more apparent to a lot of lads now. I think a lot of them in the pro game are starting to get hobbies outside. And that's probably helping with performance for everyone, because you're there's more to life than just football, you know, and it gives you that. It gives you that sort of expression outside to follow your other hobbies and things like that. And most lads do finish training at 12, 1 o'clock every day. You know, you're done for the day and then you can just go and do what you want.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting lifestyle, isn't it? I mean, you know, the staff work pretty long days, but the boys, you know, it's normally maybe 8 or 9 o'clock until 12, maybe 2 o'clock at the latest if you've stayed for a rub or a massage or a little bit of extra. So it's pretty... part time, isn't it?
It really is.
Afterwards,
you definitely have to find things to distract you in the evenings and afternoons and Sundays, where you can just get away from it and just it's like anything. People that work 9 to 5s, like, or work for any corporate companies, like, they'll have a lot of hobbies outside. I mean, I think the difference is that we don't see work as work. For us, it's like we're playing football. So
great, isn't it?
Yeah, but then when you obviously see most people in corporate jobs, it is. You know, they don't want to be there after 5. They want to go and do their own thing. But yeah, I think it's important, footballers, to keep that mental resilience and that physical across 10 months, 11 months of a year. Definitely find a way to escape. And then what you find is when you're there, you're really there. Like, you're present the whole time, because, you know, when you're not there, you're doing other things. So.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you touched upon businesses and stuff. You own your own gym, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would Elevate Fitness.
Elevate Fitness Studios, yeah, in Winchester.
Amazing. Tell us more about that.
So I came out of the pro game at 23. I left Aldershot, went and signed and started playing part-time in London at a club called Hampton and Richmond, which a lot of lads are doing these days. They're coming out of sort of National League, Conference South, and they're going to play part-time because, I mean... complete transparency, you can earn similar sort of money playing part-time now as you can full-time. A lot of lads are taking the option to play part-time and then start their own business, or start their own coaching,
start their own career
elsewhere, because then you have that career to go into your 40s, 50s, when usually you'd finish football at 30, 35 and then you've got nothing else. So I think a lot of lads are sort of doing that now. But I left at 23. I did a little bit of personal training for a year, and then the company that I was working for, they actually they folded and they closed the franchise. And then instead of buying a house that year, I bought a gym. I bought the gym, bought all the assets, took it over, and I've owned it for 18 months now. We're just about to open our second gym, so it's gone well. Obviously, you know about that, Georges, because you're hopefully going to be a part of it. But yeah, it's gone really well so far. It was a big risk, but yeah, the opportunity presented itself and just went for it, really. And yeah, I'm glad I did.
Yeah, and it's amazing stuff because, you know, you took the jump and you did it quite young, like you said, or like we said. A lot of athletes, they want to play, they want to live the dream forever, and then, you know, they're chasing that full-time football dream, but then it's like, does the risk really pay off? So you've obviously made a great decision. So tell us about Elevate Fitness Studios. Like, what do you do? How do the classes work? Is it a big community? Tell us all about that.
Cool, yeah. So we opened in January 2023. So we've been open for 2024. So we've been open for 18 months now. And the whole sort of philosophy, ethos behind it is basically hybrid training. So spent a lot of time like really into, since I was young, like understanding sort of anatomy, physiology, like the men's and women's bodies, how they're different, and also like what's best for longevity within life for people in their 40s, 50s, so like my parents' age, going into their 60s now, like what is their best chance of having a good quality life as they're older? And, you know, two of the most important components to that are strength training and cardiovascular training, as well as supplementing some sort of mobility stretching work. So the idea was to create a workout, a 60-minute workout that's a group X class that has strength training, basic compound moves, chest press, deadlifts, squats, all those sort of hinge, pull, push movements. Weighted resistance training for four or five sets of low reps, but also adding in sort of 20 minutes of cardiovascular training. So things that's going to improve your heart health and lung capacity, which are going to help fight off all different diseases across your lifespan. So mixing those two in a 60-minute workout, strength training, cardio training, and then a little bit of stretching, a little bit of mobility, 60-minute workout designed for sort of working professionals or, you know, busy parents that only have 60 minutes. You know, they're in, they've got a PT there for them. There's up to 18 people in the class. They're in, they're out, it's done. Everything's tracked with heart rate monitoring technology. So we have TV screens in the studio and all the heart rates are tracked. And it's just a really sort of simplistic and, you know, fast way just to get your workout in every day. You're in 60 minutes, you're out, you don't know everything you need. You know, you come and see us three times a week for a year, and I can promise you, you know, your lifestyle and like
change.
It'll completely change. Like, you will be so much happier, you feel so much healthier. It won't just benefit you, but it'll benefit people around you, you know. Yeah. you know whoever you're employed by, your family, your friends. You're gonna have more energy, you know, you're mentally and physically going to be in a better position every day. So that was the whole idea behind it, and it's just really taken off. You know, our strategy was really good to do with all of our sort of our business model, because me and my co-founder, we worked for a couple of franchises in the UK for a long time, and we sort of learned a lot of lessons from them of what they were doing right and what they were doing wrong, because the UK market is completely different, the characteristics are different of UK yes. people. So yeah, it's gone really well so far, mate. And as you know, yeah, we're growing, expanding to our second gym soon. So
yeah, I mean, I think my biggest take-home message from what you've said is it sounds like a lot of people are coming to train with you, and the beautiful thing of it is they can come, they don't have to worry about what to do,
yeah,
how to do it. They're just told and directed and taught all at the same time, which is something that shows that you give a lot of love to your community and your members, because I've been in classes before where there's just someone at the front who's doing all the exercises. They're screaming and shouting at you, and you could be doing them wrong. You could be causing yourself knee pain, hip pain, lower back pain, Achilles pain, anything like that. And by the sounds of it, you've got all the bells and whistles. You've got coaches that care. Obviously, you are one of them as well. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys think your program's through, and it is well taught, well coached, and everyone leaves satisfied, ticking all the boxes.
Exactly, yeah. And I think it's personable as well. It's adapted, you know, person. Even like a lot of the workouts will have like adaptations for women and men, because, you know, women should be training in a complete different way than men do. You know, they're hormonally different, their body composition is different.
Yeah.
So everything is specific to them. When you look at most group X classes in London, like your Barry's or F45, One Rebel, Orange Theory, all those sort of base models, I just don't think there's enough personability on it. Like, there's not enough sort of adaptations for certain people, and the demographic is too broad. Like, they design the same workout and the same business model wherever they are across the whole globe.
It's when, just plugging and play, right? There's no.
Yeah, the UK is a completely different market, and you have to have more. It has to be more like an independent outlook, and even the area that you're doing it in. Like, you need people from that area to run it because they're the ones that are going to care about it. So all those little things like that that we've learned, and then this has helped us really, you know, get off to a good start in this first 18 months, but really looking forward to the sort of next 5 to 10 years and where we can grow it, and then also trying to start probably other businesses alongside it in terms of like supplements and other ideas that we've had.
Sounds amazing. And obviously I mentioned community stuff. Do you guys do things as a community? Like, a lot of gyms don't, right? Something they don't do. Do you guys do community walks, meets, coffee days, runs? What do you do?
Yeah, constantly. You know, that's a big thing for not just us, but our community as well, because for us it provides, you know, because you have got to think things through in like a business perspective, and for us it creates retention levels. So, you know, people are going to stay longer as members if we're putting on events every month, we're putting on trips away, like all that sort of stuff, because it helps us and it helps them because it creates more of a community. People, I think with exercise especially, you know, it comes down to two things to a normal person to create a consistent exercise routine. And that's, for me, convenience and being social. You know, if you've got those two things, if the gym's convenient and it's not too far from you and you can get there and there's parking and it's walkable, depending on where you live. And then also if you've got friends there, family there, or you're making friends there and the community is nice, those two things are so important for people to keep going across years and to keep their fitness up. So those are two things that we focus on. Like, when we open a studio, we make sure it's in a location where there's parking and where there's easy to access to get there. And then, like you said, secondly, event wise we put on park runs every month, we put on a trip, we've got a trip to Switzerland coming up in a few months with 20 of our members that are going. You know, we put on constant socials and activities, we run a lot of Hyrox events. We team up with local businesses and restaurants to put on socials, even any sort of like local races, so like the Winchester 10k we always sponsor. The 10k races in Chandler's Ford and Romsey, like, we're always constantly putting events on. And yeah, like you said, it's so important for people like to keep that routine by having things booked in. But yeah, it's just one of the things that we do.
Amazing. That is honestly such incredible stuff, and I'm very, very happy for you. Where in Winchester are you? You're located near the train station, correct?
Yeah, so we're in a building called, we're ground floor, Harman House, Andover Road, Elevate Fitness Studios. It's about 2 minute walk from the train station, 5 minute walk from the city centre, and then we're right next to a big car park called Worthy Lane, which is like a public car park, but we also have 15 parking spaces outside the gym.
Amazing. Right. Thank you so much for that. Right. Last couple of questions. How do you unwind and recover after a tough week of work and training?
For me personally, a big one, and it's going to sound really generic, but I do just try and put my phone away. Like, because, you know, you have a hard week at work and then you get your phone out, or on a Friday night, or you're watching the TV on a Friday night, and like, it's just overwhelming with what's going on in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
All you're doing is putting more stress on yourself. I don't know how you feel about everything, but like, whatever your views are politically with anything, like, yeah, you just get your phone out and have a look on the news or anything, and you just end up doom scrolling yourself into a bad state. So I try and just put my phone away, see friends, be social on a Friday. Obviously, you've got to be careful because normally you have a game on a Saturday. But yeah, I'd say evening, afternoons, get off your phone, talk to people, and just talk about other things that are outside of work. And then, I love sport. So I'll play to get my mind off work. I'll go and play golf, tennis, paddle, you know, hobbies. I don't know, playing music, things like that, just to get away for a couple hours. But I think the biggest thing is just, lock your phone away for a few hours and just, you know, be unattainable. Nobody can get hold of you. Just have some time.
Great. Absolutely amazing stuff. Alfie, thank you so much for your time. Where can people find you online? Can you give us the website? Can you give us your socials? Can you give us your work socials?
Oh, yeah. So my social is just Alfie Whittingham. I don't put a lot of stuff on Instagram, but I mean, every now and then I'll post. But yeah, the big one, the socials for work, Elevate Official UK, at Elevate Official UK is our Instagram. So go over, have a look. We're on obviously Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, everything. But go check it out, give us a follow, and I'm sure you can follow the progress of the next couple of years.
Unreal. Thank you so much for your time, Alfie. Have a great day, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Georges.
FUBAR Radio. Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
Follow us at What the Health Show for more with George. This is What the Health.
This is What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Welcome back. We are now going to move on to some listener questions. First question from Alex. What's the best way to build core strength without doing endless crunches? Well, first of all, Alex, I don't know who taught you to do endless crunches, but they might need to have a little bit of a telling off. So working your core can be done by multiple exercises. One of my favorite exercises, and actually I think is equally as good as a plank, is actually a front squat. So if you're able to do a front squat or a goblet squat, which is where you are racking the bar either on your shoulders or in a front position with the weight in front of you, it actually causes you to activate your trunk and your core so much more. I genuinely have done sessions of legs. I don't train core, by the way. I have done leg sessions and my core the next day has hurt more than my legs because of how much front squat work I've done. So it really, really ignites your core and actually makes you, because the weight is pulling you forwards. So although you're thinking, well, like, it's making me extend my back, it's not. It's actually making you engage your core. So I would say front squats or goblet squats are really good for like non-specific core strength work, but also plank and side plank are amazing. Training crunches don't really do anything apart from help you be really good at spinal flexion. So that just means tucking your chin towards your knees. That's basically what it's helping you get better at. So it's not making you get better abs or more defined abs, because abs come from the kitchen and they also come from body fat percentage. So hopefully that helps. Any other questions, just send me a private message or send another one in. Next question. Priya says, I've just recovered from a knee injury. How do I ease back into training safely? First of all, what is the knee injury? Second of all, there are markers that you're going to need to tick off. So isometric strength is the first thing you need to do. Do you have similar muscle bulk? You know, how long were you out with the injury for? So many questions. But my biggest thing for you is, can you perform a wall sit, or can you do leg extensions and leg curls or lying leg curls? These are closed chain exercises which absolutely eliminate the risk of any sort of injury. The gym is actually safer than going for a run down the street or a jog down the street. The risk of injury is super, super low, and especially out of the free weight section, because everything is a guided and a closed chain machine. So when I say closed chain, I mean it's a resistance machine. So for you, Priya, look at leg extension, leg curl, lying leg curl, and leg press and a wall sit. Can you complete those? Are they comfortable? Are they pain-free? If so, fantastic. You can definitely ease back into training. Start with one set, and then two sets, and then three sets. And that's your first session, your second session, and your third session, anywhere between 8 and 12, maybe 15 reps. Hope that helps. Next question, Liam. I keep getting injured doing HIIT workouts. Am I doing something wrong, or should I switch up my routine? Liam, are you eating enough? And I say this every week, just so many questions. Are you eating enough? Are you actually strong? And how much HIIT training are you doing? Why are you doing HIIT training? Are you doing HIIT training because you prefer it to LISS, which is long, intense, steady state, which is basically jogging, a longer form of cardio, like a 3, 4, 5, 6, 10K, whatever that might be. You know, why are you doing HIIT workouts? That's my first question. Now, you might be doing something wrong. You might also be at a higher risk of injury because you're not eating enough. You're trying to create a deficit from working out, when that's not what you're really meant to do. You're meant to be creating a calorie deficit from food, and the exercise is meant to help you, you know, feel better and change the shape of your body. So biggest piece of advice is maybe reduce the amount of HIIT workouts you are doing in a week. Look at really incorporating some good strength training. Where are you getting injured? You know, is it your hamstrings? Because if it is, then you need to make sure you rehab them. Resting does not do anything apart from help you heal the tissue. You need to strengthen the tissue at full range, short range, all of the ranges. You need to do isometric work. You need to do flexing, extending, all of it. So hopefully that helps, and good luck with your HIIT workouts, Liam. Jess, I've gone plant-based recently. What should I focus on to keep my protein and energy levels up? Right, so I'm not the best with plant-based. I do have plant-based clients. It's actually quite complicated, but I would definitely say lots of beans, lots of lentils. If you like the substitutes for, you know, vegans, then definitely load up on that. Lots of tofu. I suggest tofu to lots of my vegan clients. But yeah, I'd probably say make sure you're getting lots of carbs in, because carbs are super important for your glycogen stores. Obviously, fat's going to be quite high naturally with a vegan diet. And obviously, make sure you're getting tofu in, lots of beans, lots of lentils. That should hopefully help. And protein shakes are going to be the best thing for you. Well, not the best thing for you, but they're going to be super helpful to up your protein intake. And final question from Dan. How do you stay consistent with training when life gets hectic with work and kids? Dan, first of all, you need to do a time audit. You don't need anything other than some form of structure. Okay, you need to think about it and you need to go, right, I know I can't get six sessions a week, so I'm going to do three full body, or I'm going to do four full body, or I'm going to do two full body, one upper, one lower. Fantastic. Figure out what you want to do, how you want to structure your week, what your goals are, and then work from there. Have structure and some form of shape, nothing more. And that is it for the list of questions today, guys. Thank you so much for your time and your questions. So just a massive thank you to our guests for their time today. You guys have been absolutely fantastic. Big thank you to Danny Ray and Joe Bynum. This is just a brief reminder for people that you guys can download the app and listen each week to follow us on social media. We are at What The Health Show on Instagram. If you are also interested in anything fitness and health related, or you're struggling with your goals, I provide a top tier coaching service with no BS. This is problem solving. This is also me holding your hand every step of the way. So if this is of interest to you, please reach out to me at gb.fitness.health or on my personal page, which is at George Burt. You are also able to listen back to this on all good podcasting platforms. Just a massive thank you from me, as always. A reminder that we're back next week and each week at 11 a.m. for another jam-packed show. I'm George. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Happy hump day. Love you. Bye.
Foo Bar Radio.